Welcome everybody to the Slicker Wire Show. We have an amazing show for you guys today. With me, I have two very special guests. I have Neil from the Clock Dodgers podcast. Neil, how you doing?
What up? Good, man. Good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on. And with me also, I have Dave Richard from Fantasy Football Today podcast and CBS Sports. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I just got out of the cryotherapy chamber. My feet have no blisters. My feet have no frostbite. I'm feeling awesome. And getting ready to get into my serious drafts. This is the time of the year after that. The second week of the preseason is great, but the third week of the preseason, once that's done, the serious drafting begins in all of my leagues, and I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I've got three drafts lined up within the next week. Super looking forward to each one of them.
It's a beautiful time of the year. It's almost like Christmas.
Oh, sometimes it's better than Christmas. You get that one guy that just falls and you can't believe he falls. Oh, sometimes that's better than Christmas. So let's just jump right on in feet first. Talk a little bit about week two preseason action here. Dave, I was listening to your show earlier and you were talking about how you liked what you've seen out of Sam Darnold. You want to jump in on that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, we've seen second year quarterbacks, make serious progress. And I think Darnold's going to be one of those guys. I'm not ready to crown him as the next great fantasy quarterback because I think his ceiling is probably going to be right around 20 to 22 fantasy points per week, and that's okay. But there are so many other quarterbacks that I think are going to be better than that this year that I'd rather have on my roster, at least to begin the season, than Sam Darnold. But what Darnold can do is throw accurate bullets to Robbie Anderson, get Jamison Crowder involved in the passing game out of the slot. You know Le'Veon Bell's going to catch a lot of passes. This is a Jets offense that I think is going to employ an up-tempo approach, spread the ball around, and really make it easy on Sam Darnold to get rid of the ball quickly. What he did in their last preseason game was very, very impressive. It was against Atlanta. Most of Atlanta's starting defensive unit was in the game, and the Jets were rolling with four backups on the offensive line, and Darnold was still slinging it. So I think he's got some qualities that are just jumping off the screen right now that'll make all of his pass catchers, and don't forget about Chris Herndon too. He's not going to be around for the first 5 weeks of the fantasy season, but when he comes back, he's going to have some pretty good value. These Jets are going to be intriguing fantasy options from week to week.
What do you think about the Jets there, Neil?
I agree. Who I'm excited about because of Darnold is Jamison Crowder. Like, because of Darnold and because of, you know, Gase and everything, I think he's underrated right now at this point. And I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. And I think people should get on him now before it's too late. So I think anyone who's buying him low, I think Crowder is going to be a big surprise to people.
Yeah, I agree. I do like Crowder. I'm warming up to Sam Darnold. He looked really good towards the end of last year. Adding somebody like Le'Veon Bell definitely can't hurt. So I'm warming up. I'm a Dolphins fan at heart. So, you know, I'm a little bit tougher on those AFC East quarterbacks and their teams. But I am warming up to him. Another quarterback that's gotten a lot of hype this season, and he hasn't even played a single snap of actual NFL game other than the preseason, is Kyler Murray. Are you encouraged, disappointed by what you've seen so far? Do you think they're holding back their offense? What do you think's going on there?
They are 100% holding back their offense. If you watched Cliff Kingsbury's units playing college, they played with tempo, meaning they'd run a play and then very quickly get back to the line. They wouldn't even huddle. They'd get ready to run another play. So that's what they're going to do in the NFL. You don't see that in the preseason. They're huddling. They're going to the line. Kyler's going to make some calls at the line, and then they're going to snap the ball. What happened in that second preseason game was that the Raiders came after Murray with the blitz. It's almost like Cliff Kingsbury went to John Gruden before the game and said, hey, I need you to test my quarterback for me. I need him to learn that the NFL isn't going to be so easy after all. Just blitz the snot out of him. And maybe he did that for his offensive line, too. He probably didn't actually do that. The Raiders just decided to be punks. And you know what? It made that Cardinals offensive line look bad. And I think until we see Arizona's offense for real, and that's going to be week one when all the fantasy drafting is over, there's going to be depressed value across the board on Cardinals players. David Johnson has moved into round two for a lot of my colleagues in the industry and certainly on CBS Sports. I still have him as a round one guy. Kyler Murray was someone who I had in my top 10. Now he's just outside of that. You're going to have to draft another quarterback with him just because you don't know what he's going to do, and you might want to be prepared in case he does fail. But I still think this Arizona offense is going to be prolific. I think they're going to put up a lot of points. I think their defense is terrible, which means they're going to have to put up a lot of points. And David Johnson is going to get used the right way because last year he was not used the right way. And as far as this offensive line goes, you know, I think the best case scenario is that they're slightly above average. They will probably end up being slightly below average. I don't think it's enough. I don't think they're going to be as bad as they looked in the preseason game against the Raiders. I just don't think it's enough to downgrade the key Cardinals guys in fantasy, which means Christian Kirk's still in the mix as a round seven-ish type player. Same for Larry Fitzgerald and PPR. Non-PPR, you're going to sink them a little bit more than that. And maybe in Dynasty Leagues, you know that Andy Isabella and Keyshawn Johnson will get picked. Maybe Keyshawn Johnson makes his way onto rosters off waivers during the year. So if you're in a deep best ball, you can grab him late.
Neil, you're a Raiders fan. You think John Gruden was doing him a favor by blitzing Kyler Murray all game?
I don't think he was doing him any favors. You even heard LaMarcus Joyner on the sideline take a shot at the Cardinals team and call them a pretty boy offense, which I thought was pretty funny, and I could probably almost guarantee that came from John Gruden's mouth directly. I think they just don't like them. You know, they're hyped up, and they want to, you know, prove a point. My concern, honestly, is that once Kyler came out, and I know it's, you know, the backups are going in and stuff, but, like, the backup quarterbacks actually didn't look terrible. So, you know, is Kyler, was it just because he was facing the number ones, or was it that, you know, these other guys are more ready than he is, than Kyler is to start the season? It does, I mean, I can't ignore it, you know, that the other guys came in and made some big plays, but they were definitely, you know, probably going a little harder on defense than most teams were going in week two just to you know, prove a point. But it was a little concerning, but not enough to make anyone, you know, I wouldn't push Kyler down a bunch because of the preseason, but it definitely was interesting to see him struggle a little bit.
All right. So basically what I got from that is buy David Johnson a little cheaper than you could before, buy Kyler Murray a little cheaper than you could before, and definitely go out and get yourself a part of that offense. I agree. I think they're holding back. There's no reason for them to show all of their cards this early in the preseason. Moving on, Tony Pollard started this week for the Cowboys. Pretty impressive. 42 yards on 5 carries. Scored the touchdown. Pollard trampled over a defender to get into the end zone. If Zeke's not there, is Pollard the guy there?
I don't know if he's going to be the only guy there, but he'll be the lead guy there. And you can tell that the Cowboys are really trying to see what they've got in Pollard by giving him all of these first-team reps in preseason games. Every snap he's taken has been with Dak Prescott as the quarterback. I think that that's pretty telling. I don't think they're doing that just to get him ready in case he starts. I don't think that he's going to sit out while Alfred Morris or Darius Jackson get touches. I see Pollard as a balanced runner. He's got good burst. The power you talked about, his touchdown run, I think that that was clear. He's also a good pass catcher out of the backfield. So even if Zeke comes back, you've got a small role for Tony Pollard. I think he could end up being good for maybe 2 or 3 catches per game and 2 and 3 carries per game. Not that you're going to want to start that on your fantasy team unless you're desperate for help, but he will have a small role in this offense. This is going to be a very different Dallas Cowboys offense than you're used to seeing. It's going to be more creative. I'm really a big fan of Kellen Moore, their new offensive coordinator, and I think he's going to open things up quite a bit, not just for Dak, but also for the run game, no matter who's back there. It would be amazing if it was Ezekiel Elliott, but if it ends up being Tony Pollard, he could be this year's James Conner. And everybody would love to have James Conner from a year ago on their fantasy roster now.
All right, so we mentioned earlier that this is the big weekend for fantasy drafts. Neil, if Zeke's not reporting to camp by, let's say, next Saturday, and you're drafting, where are you taking Tony Pollard?
I'm not going to get crazy about it. I don't trust this Cowboys team at all right now, running back. So I wouldn't bump Pollard up a whole lot because I just don't know if, you know, at the drop of a dime, Zeke can come back. It's not like, you know, there's a time limit on this. So I'm not going to get crazy with him. But, I mean, I see the value in it. But I think it's not even – Pollard owners actually get excited about how he's playing. I think it's the Cowboys that are getting more excited because it's maybe it's concerning Zeke a little bit. Like, you know, these guys aren't going to be as desperate as he was hoping for. So I don't think Pollard playing good means I have to really pump him up a whole ton because I think Zeke is going to return. I think he probably has too much ego to just give up a whole year, and he's seen how it played out for Bell. So I don't think it'll be good. So I wouldn't bump him up crazy because I don't trust that Zeke's not coming back at all. I don't buy it.
I completely agree with that. I think Zeke plays this year. I think he plays week one. Dave, last year when you were on the show, you set a deadline for Le'Veon Bell to report to the team. And if he didn't report by that deadline, you lowered his value out of the first round. Did you stick to that deadline? And do you have a deadline for Zeke and Melvin this year reporting?
I haven't quite come up with the deadline yet for Zeke, but it's coming pretty soon. Melvin Gordon has already passed the deadline for me. I'm very nervous about Melvin Gordon. I've got him ranked as a round five player, not even round two or round three. I think he's serious about his holdout. I know it could end at any time. He could show up the day before their first game and say, all right, I'm here, pay me. And he'll have to take his contract that he's actually on the hook for 2019. I'd be surprised if I saw it. There's just no optimism about a deal getting done. There's no reports about it. And Gordon himself sympathized with Le'Veon Bell during his holdout last year and agreed with it. He said that, you know, he would do what Le'Veon was doing. And so I think he's about to do it. I'm not ready to invest in Melvin Gordon. And even if he does come back, I've got questions about just how much football shape he's in. I know he's staying in shape, but there's a difference between staying in shape and getting ready to play football and the pounding it takes on your body. I bet the Chargers would be concerned about it too, and he might not get quite as much work as he used to. I think the Cowboys are a completely different story. Jerry Jones typically likes to get deals done. I'm sure that he's trying to convince Elliott that, look, we're getting Tony Pollard to make waves, and he looks good in the preseason, so you better hurry up and get back here, Zeke, because we're not going to pay you what you want. I would imagine that eventually the Cowboys will bend on this. Ezekiel Elliott is just such a good running back. We know how consistent he's been for fantasy football. I agree. I expect him to be ready to go for week one. I think if he had a full week's worth of practice before week one, he could show up and be his usual dominant self. I would probably want him back with the team a little bit before then. I maybe by Friday or Saturday of preseason week three, if there's just no traction and no change going with Ezekiel Elliott, I might move him to the back of round one or the early part of round two, but there's just so much potential with him. And now we know that we can draft Tony Pollard just in case things don't go right with Zeke. So drafting him is a little bit easier to do. And if you can do it a little bit later in round one or even early round two, I think you can feel pretty good about the value.
Yeah, I agree. Melvin, I've been saying it all offseason. Melvin concerns me more than Zeke. I think Zeke will report. I'm 100%. With you on Melvin. I will not be surprised if he sits out the whole year. Holding out over, you know, job security and a long-term contract's one thing, but we've gone from that to holding out over a helmet. Neil, can you help me here? What's AB doing?
He's making headlines for Hard Knocks. Come on, I'm not worried about it. He's just digging his feet in and trying to prove a point, but he'll be there week one. I'm not getting caught up in all these headlines. And I mean, all I care about right now is getting AB at a discount. That's all I care about. People are selling him, and I'm buying him. I'm not buying what he's doing. I'm buying him in fantasy.
Dave, are you concerned about AB at all?
Man? I wonder if he agrees. Yeah, I'm curious what Dave thinks.
So I've been on a roller coaster with Antonio Brown over the last 48 hours. When he left Raiders camp, I thought, well, this is it. He's telling the Raiders he doesn't want to play for them. He's going to, you know, be a stick in the mud about the helmet, but there's probably something else to it. And I moved him to round five. You want to talk about crazy value. And then, of course, as soon as I move him to round five, literally maybe 2 hours after I do it, he shows up at Raiders camp and he's going to participate in practice. So right back up Antonio Brown went. I think round three is going to be the sweet spot for him. I agree that he should be productive. I just don't think he'll be as ultra productive as he was in Pittsburgh. Think about it. He had Ben Roethlisberger for six seasons. They developed unbelievable chemistry and rhythm. I think Roethlisberger is a better quarterback than Derek Carr. I don't think that's saying anything surprising. And I think that Antonio Brown is just going to be in for a good season, certainly good by standards of wide receivers in this day and age, 1,200, 1,300 yards. maybe 8 touchdowns. I would take that in round 3. I think that's where you've got to go with it. But there will be a lot of people that don't draft Antonio Brown because they think he's a malcontent, because they think he's a diva, because if something bad happens, he's going to walk away from the team again. I think the risk is mitigated once you get past 25th overall on draft day, which is why maybe that's a little bit of a depressed value. You know, Neil might be more interested in taking him with the top 20 pick. I'm going to be more interested in getting him once we hit round 3. And I just want to add this to you. This is kind of the visual I have of wide receivers. I want you to picture a big giant boulder on top of a pyramid. So we've got this big giant circle on top of a pyramid. That big giant circle is all the stud running backs. And then after that, the pyramid represents the depth of the wide receiver position, where it's really thin after you get past that boulder, but there's still some depth along the way. So if you went with me on that visual, you'd see that there's just not a ton there. Once you get past maybe as much as Mike Evans on draft day, guys that are going to be available, like Keenan Allen, he's got an injury. Amari Cooper's got an injury. T.Y. Hilton's quarterback has an injury. Antonio Brown is crazy. I'm not sure who that ninth best wide receiver should be for you. And that's why I think Antonio Brown still carries some value with that third round pick and certainly late round 2 if you're inclined to believe that he can play like he did in Pittsburgh.
I love the analogy of the boulder on the pyramid. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
it's exactly 100% correct on how you should picture that. Get your studs and then pyramid out with the wide receivers.
And the problem with that is that there aren't enough stud receivers to go around. So you guys have known me for a long time. You know that I'm crazy about drafting running backs.
Yep.
I'm getting to the point now where if I'm not getting one of my five, maybe my favorite, probably more like five, one of my five favorite running backs in round 1, I'm going toward receiver. I just think that having one of those guys on your team is the safe and strong way to go.
Who are your five running backs in the first round?
It's going to include Zeke. I'm going to go with Saquon 1, Kamara 2, McCaffrey 3, Zeke 4, and James Conner 5.
Connor's. I was wondering who the fifth one was. I wasn't sure if it was going
to
be
Right, it's going to be Connor. I think Jalen Samuels is a good player. I just don't think he's going to get enough work to make Connor a mediocre fantasy running back.
Okay. Speaking of running backs, let's look at some of these rookie running backs that showed up this past weekend. Anybody you're buying, selling, somebody you're stashing between Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, Tony Pollard, Daryl Henderson, and Darwin Thompson?
Well, I was at the Chiefs Steelers preseason game, and I got a nice up-close look at Darwin Thompson, and I'm impressed. I think that he's got speed for days. He's a good pass blocker. If you go back and watch the touchdown that Chad Henne threw to Mecole Hardman, Thompson laid out a great block, and it's rare to see rookie running backs block so well. I am positive that after these two preseason games, if the NFL draft was held again, Darwin Thompson would not be a sixth-round pick. He would go much closer for round 3, if not even late round 2. He's a real good player, and he's a perfect fit for what Andy Reid wants to do in this offense. Not saying he's going to be a fantasy stud right away. I think Damian Williams is still going to be the guy. But whether I get Williams or not, Darwin Thompson, that's a sleeper for me. I'm real excited about him. I think Josh Jacobs will be good. I know round 3, round 4 is going to be the range on him. Miles Sanders is a round 6 pick. You just have to be patient with him. You can't start him week 1. It's almost like you're going to draft him, and then you're going to draft somebody that you're going to start ahead of them in round 7 or round 8. But I love his game, and I think he's going to be a real nice fit with the Eagles. I think he's got a chance to break the stigma that Philadelphia has had with running backs over the last few years. They haven't had a running back have over 1,000 total yards. And the one that I'm concerned about, I'm not going to call him a bust or say I'm staying away from him, is Darrell Henderson. He's done okay as a pass catcher, and he had some mild runs against the Cowboys, like third-string defense, I believe. I'd like to see him play with the starting unit with the Rams. I'd like to see him out there with Jared Goff, with their starting offensive line, with the receivers taking the top off of defenses. I think he'd fare a little bit better. So I'm not ready to just run away from Darrell Henderson, but I do think he's more of a maybe top 80 to top 90 pick rather than a top 60 there. Not 60, he was never there. Top 70 to top 80 pick. I think his ADP has fallen about 10 spots. I think it's fine. But he's not somebody that I'm running away from just because he's had a couple of bad preseason games.
All right. Curtis Samuel, from Carolina has got all the hype, but DJ Moore's been drafted earlier than him. Does that make any sense to you, Neil? Or what do you think about that, the wide receiver situation in Carolina?
I mean, I think I'm interested in both of them. I like them both. If I had to choose one, I'm probably going DJ Moore. I just have a little more faith in him. I know Curtis Samuel is like the flavor of the week right now, though. So, like, everybody's all in on him. And there's good reason to be. I think the even bigger point here is Cam Newton. Like, he's going to be a super great value at this point. I mean, he can still make things happen on his feet. He's never – I mean, it's been a while since he's had weapons like this as far as wide receivers that we talked about. You throw them in with McCaffrey, it's like Olsen's back. You know, I think Cam Newton is the guy we should be talking about. I mean, the wide receivers are going to be fine, though. I don't think there's anything to, you know, to worry about.
How about you, Dave?
So, in the last 7 weeks of last season, Curtis Samuel averaged 11.6 PPR fantasy points per game, and DJ Moore averaged 12.0. So that's pretty close between the two of them. Samuel had more touchdowns. Moore had more targets, catches, and yards. I think these guys are fairly similar, but I do think Samuel has better speed. I agree with Neil, first of all, that Cam is going to be an awesome value, but I also agree that DJ Moore is the one that I would prefer the two. He's who I have ranked, but I almost like the value better for whichever one I can get second. And I'm also not ruling out the idea if I'm picking late in round six and they're both still there, I'm going to take Moore and then try and get Samuel and have both of them on my team, because I think both of them can come up with 10 or 11 PPR fantasy points per week with one of the two of them each week going beyond that. 15, 16, 17 PPR fantasy points. I think the Carolina offense is going to be really, really good this year. I think what they're doing to try and make it easy on Cam is helping. And Newton's throwing mechanics look a lot more refined now than they ever have before in his career. And if he sticks with that, he could be in for a huge season.
I'm more on the Curtis Samuel train than the DJ Moore. I think it's all baked in with the ADP, though. Whichever one I can get the later is the one I want. I'm a big, huge Curtis Samuel fan, so I'll take him over DJ Moore based upon draft value alone. Next, we've got Josh Gordon. He's been reinstated by Roger Goodell, right back to New England. Do you think he could finish the season as a wide receiver 1, 2, 3, or flex?
I'm going to say a wide receiver, too. I understand the risk involved in drafting Josh Gordon. He hasn't been on the field consistently since 2013. God, it seems like forever ago. But if the Patriots stuck with him throughout this whole process, and Tom Brady even went as far as to train with Josh Gordon, then I think that means that they've got plans for him. And if the Patriots have plans for a player, I want that player on my fantasy team. So Josh Gordon is someone who I prefer to get him in round six. I think you're going to see him go in round five in a bunch of drafts. I know today I did a super flex mock draft, and I was desperate for a wide receiver in round five, and I took Josh Gordon then, and I was thrilled with it. I think he's got a shot at 1,000 yards. And so when you get to the point in your draft where you're looking at wide receivers who have 1,000-yard, 6 or 7 touchdown potential, I think he's ahead of the guys like Allen Robinson and Alshon Jeffrey. Those guys don't have a lot of 1,000-yard seasons under their belt, and only once have they really been huge in the touchdown department. Alshon might have been there 2 or 3 times, but not Allen Robinson. So I'm taking him ahead of those guys, and I think there's definitely a lot of appeal. And here's the last selling point I've got on Josh Gordon. There were 3 games last year where Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman played without Rob Gronkowski. And we know that Gronk is retired, and unless that changes, then this stat won't. In all 3 of those games, both Edelman and Josh Gordon averaged a minimum of 12 PPR fantasy points each. There's a lot of upside now with Rob Gronkowski off the field. Josh Gordon is a mismatch problem on the outside. Julian Edelman is a mismatch problem on the inside. I think Tom Brady is actually going to have some more appeal now with Josh Gordon in the fold, and it makes this Patriots offense all the more dangerous.
Yeah, last year we're in 10 games with the Patriots. Gordon had 40 catches, 720 yards. He averaged 18 yards a catch, 4 touchdowns, active 8-game streak with 20-plus yard receptions. He absolutely was phenomenal in the games he played. The problem, like you said, is the game he's played. Neil, you know how much of a Josh Gordon fan I am. I know how much of a Josh Gordon fan you are. What do you think about Josh Gordon being reinstated?
Oh, man. You know, I can't be more happy about this. I'm the guy that in Dynasty Leagues was holding on to Gordon every year or buying Gordon every year for people who finally gave up on him. So I'm happy it's happened. I'm excited for him. I hope that this is the last time we have to go through this whole process, you know, with Gordon. I mean, you know, I know it's a serious thing that he's dealing with, so we'll see if it, you know, finds its way back again. But if it doesn't, man, I'm okay with calling him a wide receiver one. I know it's crazy. I know it's, you know, sounds ridiculous to a lot of people, but fantasy is about taking these risks, taking these gambles. And, I mean, if you can get him at the ADP that he's at and it's not anything crazy, I'm not saying, you know, go nuts and draft him, which, like, is your first wide receiver. But at his value, where you draft him, I think it's a great get for anybody. I'm willing to take the risk. I think that's what this is all about. And, yeah, I mean, come on. He's on the Patriots, dude. He's Tom Brady, Tom Brady's wide receivers. To me, he's Tom Brady's wide receiver one. I know Edelman's everyone's guy there, and he's, you know, the safety net. But, man, he's the real deal wide receiver one, man. It's Gordon.
Yeah, I think if like Dave said, if Tom Brady's taking you to the side and working with you in the offseason, there's a reason for that. I think he will finish as a wide receiver too, as well, with the wide receiver one upside, as long as he plays all 16 games. Real quick,
yeah, it says a lot that the Patriots never gave up on him, man. It says a lot.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
I agree. That's huge.
Yeah, if Bill Belichick is not one to mess around with somebody, he'll cut you for just about anything. Oversleeping after a 200-yard game, he doesn't care. So for him to keep you around, yeah, it says a lot. Dave, real quick, if you could give me a quick breakdown of what you're thinking about the Buccaneers backfield with Peyton Barber, Ronald Jones, Andre Ellington. Is there a clear-cut fantasy winner there in that backfield?
No, there's no one to get excited about right now. I mean, Peyton Barber is going to be the one who begins the season as their lead back. I would imagine that he'll be a candidate for somewhere between 10 to, call it, 14 touches per game. I think Ronald Jones will mix in there so long as he stays in the good graces of his coaching staff. Andre Ellington could be their third down back. And I've been hearing rumblings about Dari Ogunbowale. That's
– yeah. Say it five times fast.
Don't make me do that. But he did well in the passing game in the last preseason game. Wouldn't shock me if he got a series with the starters in their third preseason game, just to see what he could do. It also wouldn't shock me if the Bucs made a move for a running back at the cutdown day. So after Labor Day weekend, take a real long look at what the Bucs have at running back. My hunch is that they're just going to end up mixing and matching. But who knows? They might end up making a move like the Texans did, and they'll have somebody there that'll have more appeal than what they've got now. I do think Ronald Jones has improved from where he was last year at this time. I think Barber looks okay. I mean, I think he's probably a little bit better than just a guy, but not much better than that. And then Andre Ellington is someone that Bruce Arians has just relied on for a long time. I talked with Ellington's trainer, actually. And he told me, watch out. Bruce is going to like him, and he's going to find a role for Andre Ellington in this offense. And it could be as a third down back. So we've already talked about four running backs. There's only three downs to play on for Tampa Bay. I would be shocked if any of these guys ended up being number two fantasy running backs by the end of the year.
I'm going to go out on the limb right now and say LeSean McCoy gets cut in Buffalo and signs with Tampa and will be their starting running back this season.
I don't know if he'd get cut by Buffalo. I think he might get traded out of Buffalo. I'm not sure if he's going to get cut. We had a long debate on fantasy football today about LeSean McCoy and what his value is right now. And Pete Prisco was at their preseason game against Carolina. And he thinks LeSean McCoy looks quick and lean and, you know, definitely not typical of your usual 32-year-old running back. But I have a hard time believing he's going to get enough work on a weekly basis to be worth starting on your fantasy roster. So why are you drafting him? What's the reason to have LeSean on your team? In case of desperation, you know, say you're going to, one of your running backs goes down in week one and you need somebody to replace him in week two. Yeah, okay, I could get behind that. But I'd almost rather have Devin Singletary because I think he's got upside to take over this whole backfield maybe by mid-October.
All right, one more running back I want to hit on real quick, and then we'll get you out of here, Dave. Joe Mixon looking good for the Bengals. I know there was a lot of concern with them losing their left tackle and Andy Dalton back there and whatnot. But he looks pretty good this preseason. What are your thoughts on Joe Mixon?
I agree. He looks really good. And the offense that's being installed in Cincinnati, it's a version of the West Coast, just like they had last time, or under last year, the last several years. But it's going to be more focused on the running back. It's what Todd Gurley has been in. And you think about Todd Gurley and just the roles that he had in L.A., I think Mixon is going to thrive in a similar situation where he's catching a lot of passes and lots of zone runs that stretch out defensive fronts. I think it could be very, very good for him, even with the offensive line not being, they'll be an average offensive line, if not slightly worse than that. You know, they'll be better than Arizona, but not by a whole lot. I think Joe Mixon's in line for a huge year. I like him as a top 20 type of fantasy pick and easily a top 10 fantasy running back.
Neil, what do you think?
I agree with everything that Dave's saying. I think the good thing about preseason that you see is that they're running the kind of offense that plays straight into what Mixon needs. I mean, what Mixon wants, what he you know, thrives in. So I think he's just going to have a better year than he's had in the past. The O-line, like Dave said, is a little, you know, you're not super excited about it. But I think he deserves to be in the top 10, you know, without question. And, you know, with A.J. Green going down, I think it even relies more on him. But I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing with, you know, defense is less focused out there. So, but I like him. I like him. I don't actually have him in any of my leagues yet. I haven't been the guy to draft him, but I wouldn't be afraid to trade for him, you know, if it was a fair price. So I haven't had the opportunity to draft him yet this year, but I see the upside.
All right. And Dave, I know I said I had one more running back question for you, and I'm going to keep true to that, but I do have one question for you. And it's this question that I typically ask everybody that comes on Break from the Grind, which is my other podcast that I do. And it revolves around pizza, which I have a feeling, I think, you know, it's something that you're very knowledgeable about as well.
Well, why is that, huh? Because I'm a big guy. You know,
I'm a big guy too. But it was more. It's more so from Chicago.
Listen, it's in my bio. I love pizza, so by all means, ask away. Let's talk pizza.
It's a traditional question. Gets a lot of debate from people. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
If you like pineapple, then absolutely. It's one of those things where if you enjoy the taste of pineapple and you enjoy the taste of pizza, putting it together, it's a grand slam. But if you're not really a big fan of pineapple, or if you're just not a fan of pizza, then the two of them don't belong together. It's as simple as that for me. I tend to get pineapple on pizza maybe twice a year. And I just think that the sweet and savory mix on your palate, kind of a fun change from what it usually is with pizza, which is just, you know, vegetables or meats. I think it's kind of fun to have pineapple on pizza. So yeah, I'm for it, but I'm not so crazy about it that every time I go out and get a pie, it's covered in fruit. It's just not going to be my cup of tea every time I get pizza. But whenever the mood strikes me, yeah, I'll get that with some sausage or some bacon on there. And it's an interesting taste.
I found myself agreeing with you way too much today. That was fantastic. Neil, do you want to jump on the pizza and pineapple?
Yeah. I got to say, I disagree, guys. I can't get with the pineapple on pizza.
Okay.
I literally just had this with this argument with my brother earlier today. I don't do it, man. I don't get it.
Do you like pineapple?
I love pineapples. I just, something about it on pizza, it just doesn't do it for me. I don't know. Maybe I don't want that such a... I don't know. Fruits don't belong on pizzas. It just doesn't seem right. It just seems wrong. It doesn't taste right. And maybe it's because I've always had the combination of ham and pineapple. Because that's, you know, how they usually do it. And I'm not crazy about ham on pizza either. So maybe that's what
neither
is.
Am I.
Maybe if I switched it up to a different meat. But
all right. Here's what I think you should do. Next time you go to one of those pizza places where they, you know, they make the pizza and then they cook it right in front of you, you know, you're out the door in 5 minutes.
Right.
Get pineapple on half of it and don't get ham. You can get a different meat if you want. You can even get chicken. You know, let's go crazy here. Chicken pineapple pizza. I mean, that sounds like something straight out of the loony bin, but maybe you'll enjoy it. I challenge you to try it without ham. That's what I do. And I like it a lot. And it's okay if you don't. Everybody's, you know, got their own taste buds, and whatever is good for them is good for them. But I give that
I'll accept your talent, Dave.
And if you don't like it then you know that you just don't like pineapple on pizza. And that just means that the next time me and George get together, we're not going to be invited to a pineapple pizza party. That's the end of it.
Well, I accept your challenge. I will try pineapple with something else. Like you said, maybe chicken. We'll try something. But maybe it's the ham throwing me off. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's just the combination of it all. I'm definitely not going to shy away from it, so I will try it.
You got to do it with sausage and green peppers. That's the trick.
Sausage and green peppers.
Sausage and green peppers.
Sausage, green peppers, and pineapple. I've never done that. That's the next time I get
it. That's the trick right there.
All right, I'm going to try it.
That sounds fun.
All right, well, we're going to end the show with a little bit of pizza talk there. Neil, Dave, thank you guys so much for coming on. It was a great show. I appreciate all your insight. You can follow us on Twitter at the Sleeper Wire Show. Dave, why don't you tell the people where they can follow you and then follow it up with Neil?
Sure. So at Dave Richard on Twitter, that's where you'll find links to everything I do, everything I write. And I'm on Fantasy Football Today. It's a podcast that you can find everywhere, wherever you downloaded the Sleeper Wire podcast. You can find our fantasy football podcast. We do it daily during the season and then weekly throughout the off season. And also Fantasy Football Today, the video show, completely separate from the podcast, live at noon Eastern every day on CBSSports.com's streaming channel, CBS Sports HQ, which you can find at CBSSportsHQ.com.
All right, Neil, why don't you tell people where they can find you?
Go figure. I was kind of hoping Dave could tell them where to find me. No, I'm just kidding. he did it so well. You can find me at Clock Dodgers on Twitter, Instagram, all those things. And the podcast, Clock Dodgers Podcast, like they both have mentioned previously. You can find it on all the different podcast platforms, or you can just go to clockdodgers.com to find everything if you forget.
I love the name, too, Clock Dodgers. You know,
I appreciate it. It's a little confusing. It's a little confusing, Dave. Sometimes people think it's a Dodgers podcast. I got to beat those guys off, but it's not what this is. But yeah,
no. To me, it's about just listening to some. To me, it's about listening to something fun while you're supposed to be doing something else. You know, you're dodging the clock. You don't want to be bothered doing your actual work. You know, whether it's yard work or stuff that you're paid to do. Just chill out and listen to the Clock Dodgers podcast, and you're entertained for a while instead. It's like the perfect
you get it.
I believe the motto is dodging the 9-to-5 mindset.
That's right. You gotta dodge that 9-to-5 mindset. There's perfect. So much greatness outside of it. I think I'm hanging out with too many people who don't eat. I think I hang out with too many people who don't eat pineapple on pizza.
You're coming around, Neil. We're winning you over.
You guys seem like a smart group.
So, all right, well, gentlemen, that's the end of the show. Dave, Neil, greatly appreciate your time.